Listen, welcome to everybody that is online right now. We're going to get into the prisoners of Marah. Are you a prisoner of Marah? I want you to catch this revelation with the eyes of your spirit, with the compassion part, which I call the knower of your spirit. Okay, this is a message that it needs to speak to you, not to your mind, not to your intellect, not to your logic mind, but it needs to speak to your spirit. Because there are many that are need to be delivered from the prison of Marah. You have become a prisoner of Marah. Let me read to you. Let me read to you what the scripture says in Exodus 15 verse 19. Exodus 15 verse 19. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, remember Miriam was a prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Listen to this. God just brought them out of an incredible deliverance. He brought them out of 400 years of slavery. He brought them out through one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the birth of Jesus Christ. He split the waters with hundreds of meters high. Think of this. As the water walls were stopped and there was walls of water and they could walk on dry land, one of the greatest miracles in the Bible for me was performed here. The children of Israel see this. They come out of this miraculous move of God. They come out of a supernatural season of their lives. Yet they step into a place and a land where they could find no water to drink. And when they came to Marah, the bitter place, Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. You see, Marah was an oasis. So while they were in the wilderness, they found an oasis. And in this oasis, there was water there. And when they began to drink of this water, they found out it was bitter. Therefore, they named the name of it and they called it Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Listen to this. We're going to get into Revelation tonight. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. So the people murmured. I want you to remember this. They murmured to Moses. Then Moses prayed and he cried out to God. And the Lord showed him a prophetic divine instruction. And he said, I want you to take a tree, cast it into the waters, cast it into the waters. And as you cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, a statute and ordinance. And there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you. That's a whole nother message, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. That is a whole nother, just that sentence. Oh my God. Do you know how many believers are walking around with diseases that are meant for the unbelievers? For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim with the two wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Listen here. One of the first class miracles, the best miracles for me is the splitting of the Red Sea where the Israelites could cross the Red Sea. And what was even more of a greater miracle is that the Egyptians could not figure out why these waters were like this, and they had the guts to follow the Israelites through this wall of waters, not knowing the God who has done it, and then they drowned in it. I want to speak to you about a dumbfounding miracle. There's a miracle where God will make your enemies be dumbfounded. It is a miracle where God will show up on your behalf. Your enemies, when they will see the wonders and the signs and the miracles, they will be dumbfounded. They will be in awe, and it will remove them and take them out of your way. I pray that your enemies will make mistakes that would advance your cause. In the name of Jesus Christ, your enemies, every enemy you have, will make mistakes that will advance your cause. They'll send an email to your boss about you, but send it to you by accident. They'll send a message to their boss, to your boss about you, but they'll send it to you by accident. Do you know how many times that has happened to me? My accountant, listen to me. I had a individual that was doing our accounting, and they were doing me in, and they were kind of like putting money laundry on me and fraud and all these things. And they sent an email to the wrong person. They sent an email to me meant for the bank. And it came because I prayed and I cried out to God for release from what is happening. Something is happening in our finances. We can't get any breakthrough. We can't get a house. We can't get these things. And on the email that was meant for the bank, I read, and the accountant said these words: "I do not believe that Leon deserves this type of house, and do not foresee the longevity of his business." And it came to me. I pray that your enemies will make mistakes that will cause your advance, that the anointing will be so strong upon your life that God's favor and grace will advance you, that when your enemies meet you again 5 years later or 10 years later, he has prospered you to such a degree they cannot deny what God you serve. I stand in front of you as a living testimony. As a living testimony. Listen here. Let's get into this. Let's get into this. The bitter water. Bitter waters. I want us to get into the prisoners of Marah. There are believers that are watching me right now. You're in a place called Marah. Every Christian gets to Marah. Every Christian gets into a season of their life in Marah. It's a place of bitter waters. It's a place where nothing works out. It is a place where everything goes wrong. But there's a way to get out of your Marah. Right after they crossed the Red Sea, the Israelites might have thought, but this is it. We have been set free. Everything is going to be right now. We're having the greatest victory right now. Imagine them. They're thinking, they concluded that all their troubles were over and they were not prepared for the next shocker. You know, whenever I get a breakthrough, whenever my wife and I get a breakthrough, I'm always, always, always wary of what is happening next. What attack am I going to get? What attack am I going to get? So from that victory, the Israelites, they went into a wilderness where they had no water for 3 days. And then they came to a place where they finally had water, but it was a place called Marah, and the water was bitter, unable to be drained. That when they drink it, they became sick. Now, this is an Old Testament story that I'm explaining to you and opening up to you. It has a revelation and a shadow of Christ and the cross in it. But what is Marah in the realm of the spirit? What is Marah in the realm of the spirit? If I say that you need to be broken free from the prison of Marah, many of you are there. I get your messages every day on Facebook, every 5 minutes. Prophet, pray for me for this. Prophet, pray for me. Everything is going wrong. Prophet, everything's going wrong. I lost my husband. I lost my wife. I lost my kids. I lost my job. I have no money. Prophet, pray for me. If you can understand and get the revelation that you are in your Marah season and there's a solution out of it, God is allowing this to happen to see what is inside of you that comes out. You see, Marah is there to expose and amplify certain bad attitudes that we have, that he wants to deal with. The bitter waters of Marah. What is Marah in the realm of the spirit? What is Mara in the realm of the spirit? It is a silent enemy terrorizing multitudes. It is a silent enemy terrorizing multitudes. It is a force that limits destinies and destroys relationships. It is a spirit that has converted former friends to very huge enemies. It is the spirit of bitterness. Bitter waters. It is the spirit of bitterness. It is the place of confrontation. It is a place of limitation. It is a place of dryness. You feel spiritually dry. Your prayers feels like it is hitting the roof. You feel prayers. God feels like he's so far. God feels like he has, it feels like God has forsaken you. You are only in a place in a season of Mara. You've become a prisoner of Mara. And there's a way out of Mara. So many people are stuck in this season of Mara. They are, everything is going miserable. Everything is going wrong. Everything is going bad. Mara requires a certain secret weapon to get out of. And I'm going to end this session with this secret weapon to get out of this. Mara is a place where dreams are scattered. Mara is a place where dreams are scattered. It is a place where songs of deliverance become songs of sorrow and songs of bondage. Mara is a place where your song in your heart, the melody in your heart has gone missing. It is a place of surprising evil turnaround. It is a place where happiness is transformed into bitter lamentations. In the spirit realm, it is a place of emotional blindness. Emotional blindness. It is a place of murmuring and dissatisfaction. Remember the Israelites. The Bible says the Israelites began to murmur against Moses. And Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, take a tree and throw it into the waters. God gave Moses a divine instruction, but there was a murmuring that happened. Mara, the prison and the season of Mara will make people murmur. It will amplify every bad attitude you have in your heart, in your things that were hidden, that's hidden in your heart, that people cannot see surface level. Your Mara will bring it out. God will allow it to come out so that you can see the evil and deal with it. It is a place of murmuring and dissatisfaction, disaffection and dissatisfaction. It is a place of destruction of destiny. It is the place of a destiny destroyer. It is this place where your star of destiny is stolen. It is the place where your horse of destiny is stolen from you. It is the place where your star of your glory has been stolen. I'm going to preach a message. I've lost my horse of destiny. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says, is it right? I've seen this thing upon earth. Is it right that servants ride horses and princes walk? You are a prince in the house of God, and a servant, a slave, stole your horse of destiny. Many through witchcraft, their stars have been stolen, their glory has been taken. People ask me, how does your glory get taken? Let me give you one example. You're a young little sweet girl. You're a peer. You're in school and you're a peer. You're a Christian and you're a peer, and your peer pressure comes. And somebody sleeps with you. But that person that sleeps with you is not just a person. A demon enters that person because that person, that demon knows that you are a Christian and there's a glory on you. There's a calling on you. There's a star above you. Remember, there was a star above Jesus. There's a star on you. And he has to sleep with you to take your star, your glory. That's one instance. Sleeps with you there. From that moment, you will struggle to get back into the calling, the destiny, and the glory of God for your life. Unless you have a man of God with impeccable grace that can bring restoration through prophetic prayer, that can bring your glory back, that can bring your star back, can bring a prophetic horse, your destiny horse back. People don't understand. And then they go their lives through. And then what happens is their family lives begin to repeat one after the other after the other. Their generational sins begin to. Why? Because of one act of where the star was stolen. The glory was taken from that girl. And this happens in African traditions so much. So much. In America, it also happens. America just doesn't have the spiritual understanding. But there is an awakening happening in America, and I'm very thankful for all these young people in the United States that are doing such amazing work. I'm in communication and friends with many of them, and many, many who are casting out devils on the street and doing revivals and just doing amazing, packing out centers after centers. And America has been waiting long for a revival as such. And I'm so glad that that is happening, that they can be awakened again to the dangers of the spiritual realm. In Africa, we know deliverance. Nothing for us to lay hands on somebody and cast out a snake, a python spirit or a python spirit or a mermaid spirit or do whatever, water spirit. It's nothing for us to do those things. But it's another thing now for America to begin to be opened and see those things. But there is an incredible revival in the most unlikeliest places, in the places where generals and men of God could never get any breakthrough. Revivals are happening right now. Places like San Francisco, every revivalist avoided, every general of God avoided San Francisco that moved in the supernatural. Was it San Francisco? I think it was San Francisco. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm sorry, but I believe it's San Francisco. So America has it, and America has it big right now. I mean, I'm speaking to young people there. They are really causing chaos. They're getting YouTubers saved, like your top YouTubers. I was speaking to someone today, a young man which is very on fire, and he's pulling thousands to his meetings, doing deliverances all over, and they're going from city to city to city to city to city. I mean, churches of thousands, 7,000, 8,000 packed out. So streets packed out. There is in New York, when they go to New York, it's lines around the buildings in New York, down the streets just to get in. Revival is happening under the nose of people in America. But we need it in South Africa. And that's why the Lord said to me to keep myself pure, to get outside of the who's who of the charismatic zoo, the slime and the spider's web of the green rooms, and to get away from all the politics in the church and stay pure and fresh and focus on encounter. And he has caused a lot of things to happen to get me back to a place again of just focusing on encounter, because we were received many times. And by many again, we begin to receive. And the Lord said to me, he came to me, he said, Leon, this is not what I want for you. I've put you in a place, in a secret place, because you're going to be prepared for something fresh. Do not look at the glory out there, and do not look at those that are getting supposed opportunities. You see, I've died long time ago to myself, to opportunities, to platforms. I've died long time ago. I get invites. I get good invites. I get really good invites. And the Lord will just tell me, nope, you're not going. I'll be like, what must I do? Watch TV. What must I do? You know, like, really, that's my conversation with God. And he'll just say, I don't care. You're not going. And I don't go. I got invites from generals that I wanted to meet my whole life. And the Lord said, no. He said, if you get on that stage, it'll be premature exposure. It's going to kill you. So Mara, let's get back to Mara. Mara in the spiritual realm, it is a place of unfulfilled expectations. A place of unfulfilled expectations. If your expectations are always cut off, I decree and declare that you shall be free today and your Mara shall end, and you will come out of the prison of Mara. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every spirit that has attached itself to you by the power and the weapon of Mara, and that you'll be free, that every spiritual web and every spiritual cobweb will be removed from your life. You see, what is Mara? In the spirit realm, Mara is a place of constant remembrance of a horrible experience. You stay in a moment of trauma. You stay in a repeat of the past. It is a place of sickness that has defied medical diagnosis and treatment. It is a situation that makes prayer and worship difficult, if not impossible. It is a place of inability to concentrate, a place of wandering thoughts continually. It can subject its victims to vagabond careers. Its victims become vagabonds. They cannot find or be established or be planted and rooted in one place. They become a vagabond, a wandering spirit. It can subject its victims to vagabond careers. It is a place of regular harassment, a place of an inability to coordinate your thoughts and your actions and plans that you have. Mara is a place of inconsistency and a place of mental instability. A place of inconsistency and mental instability. It is a place of general lack of productivity. You feel like you cannot produce or progress. It is a place of lack of progression. It is a place of lack of progression. It is a place where hope and dreams are scattered and buried. It can kill or lead you to suicide or frustration or take your life. If you stay in your season of Mara, suicide begins to haunt your thoughts. It can give someone a totally different idea of life and a perspective of reality. If you are not careful, it will rule over you and you'll remain in Mara 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and it will steal your glory, it'll steal your life, your purpose, your destiny. It can prevent your countenance from shining. And it can completely alter your life. It can prevent your countenance. Have you ever seen people, they've lost that shine in their countenance and it alters their life? Mara. They are in their Mara. It can make a man unkind, selfish, and inconsiderate. It is infectious and goes from generation to generation. If it's a generational thing where your generations have been in Mara, you cut Mara today, and I'll give you the keys and the secret weapons on how to get through this. If not properly handled, it can lead a person to hellfire. It can make you renounce Christ. It can make you completely give up. Listen here. You might have arrived at your own Mara now because it is a common experience. Many Christians arrive at their Mara. It is a common experience. If not most, will experience a Mara. It is important that you know that the power behind it can hold people in bondage. However, if it confronts you, Mara confronts you, it is your attitude towards it that is very important. Now, this is where I'm going to get into some answers. Life itself is a battle of attitudes. What is your attitude? Is your attitude continually always down, down, down? Or is your attitude fresh and up? Does your attitude have the ability to see the good, to see the upward call of Christ in you, to keep your eyes upon Jesus? Your attitude can make or break you. It can heal or hurt you. It can make you happy or it can make you sad and miserable. It is your attitude is determines your altitude, determines how high you will go. There's power behind attitudes that would determine how far you can go. Show me your attitude and I'll show you how far you can go. Your attitude determines so let me say like this, your attitude towards your Mara will decide how it would handle you. Your attitude towards your Mara will determine how your Mara will handle you. The way you face it is exactly the way it would do to you. If you face it as a failure, it would treat you as a failure. Attitude counts. You know, some people, they're about a situation and they always just grope, oh, nothing is working, nothing. Doesn't matter what, they cannot put a smile on their face. They cannot have joy in their hearts. They need to repent. and say, God, I'm going to get out of my Mara, my prison of Mara. I'm going to get out of the season of bitter waters that my life is in. You have put me here to teach me a lesson. I'm going to give a good attitude and I'm going to be lifted out of this place. And God will speak to you and give you a supernatural divine intervention, an ability, a key, a secret, like I gave to Moses to say, cast the tree into the waters and the waters became sweet. I prophesy to you right now that God will give you a divine ability to cause your waters to become sweet again. Listen. When the Israelites got to their Mara, they confronted it with murmuring and grumbling. They didn't confront it with a good attitude. They confronted it with a murmuring and grumbling. They would have died there if it was not for Moses' prayer and cry to the Lord and how Moses handled the situation. The wrong handling of your Mara can mess up your life completely. When Mara confronts some people, they withdraw and do not talk to anybody again. They go into isolation. They feel sorry for themselves and self-pity comes on them. When Mara is confronting some people, they start fighting their wives and husbands. When Mara comes on people, some may even resort to drinking and smoking and drugs and all these other things. When Mara comes on people, they would worry themselves until they become sick. Worry themselves until they become sick. Mara is a very big prison yard. Many people can be in it. Many are going through Mara's waters of bitterness in their hearts against others. Such people are prisoners of Mara. Some people have so much bitterness. The only words that come out of their mouth is about somebody that has done them wrong. They are a prisoner of Mara. If you get to your Mara, you need to do what Moses did. Begin to cry. Cry to the Lord. But what your Mara will do is, it'll take your crying. It'll give you a bucket to cry more. It'll give you a towel and tell you to continue crying as much as you want to keep you in a place where you cannot solve your problem. When people are confronted by their Mara, some people take it very irrational. They make irrational decisions that would encourage and feed it in their lives. Listen, I've helped people in our church when they're in their seasons of Mara, and I tell them, do not make this decision, this business decision, do not make it right now. If you do this, you're going to mess. Just wait until you're out of your season of Mara before you make an irrational decision. When the children of Israel got to Mara, they were bitter. They were completely unprepared, but God was prepared because He has never caught in an emergency. He is never confronted with a situation which he is not aware of. The people grumbled, they murmured, they complained. But one man, Moses, had the senses and the common sense to cry and pray unto the Lord. Are you confronted with Mara today? You can handle it through prayer. I'm giving you weapons here. What is the first weapon to come out of your Mara? Say with me, attitude. It's your first weapon is attitude. Number two is prayer. Prayer. There's still two more weapons coming. So the first thing you need to do is you need to have a complete change of attitude. Do not listen to the words of men because their words can kill you. The human race has no good intention towards anyone. Every single person, especially in South Africa, wants to bring you down. You need to stop your life from revolving around the problem and continually think about the problem and continually think about what went wrong and what is going wrong. And you must come up with a positive attitude and look into the future. You cannot do that without spending time with the Almighty, the one who sees. So the second thing you need to do. So the first thing is attitude. The second thing is prayer. The people of Israel grumbled. mumbled, murmured, complained, but Moses prayed. You need to pray so that Mara confronting your life shall dry up and be cursed to its roots. And you shall cut it off from your generations. Let's go to Exodus 15 verse 25. I want to read to you here. Exodus 15 verse 25. Listen to this. And Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord and thy God, and will thou which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where the 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Now listen, he took them from Marah to a place of great waters, but there was somebody who intervened. Now, first of all, I want to speak about the weapon of the tree. The weapon of the tree. The key to the problem of the man was the tree. The problem, the key to the problem of the waters was the tree. When Moses threw the tree into the waters, it became sweet. There was no power in the tree. It was the same thing like Elisha throwing the stick into the waters to make the axe head float. There's a secret there. The Bible says Elisha made the axe head float. It doesn't say God made the axe head float. It said Elisha made the axe head float. There was no power in the stick. There's no power in the tree. It was the divine revelation and secret that God gave Moses. And Moses had that secret and revelation that he made the waters sweet. So there was a divine prescription which God gave Moses. I pray that your own divine prescription would come your way as you spend time with the Lord to dry up the bitter waters of Marah and make it sweet in Jesus' mighty name. That whatever solution you need, listen here, this is something that comes out of spending time with God. Not only going to your man of God or not only crying, spending time with God. But what do? I pray. Oh, sorry, I change my attitude. Number two, I pray. Number three is the weapon of the tree. I must get divine revelation while I'm praying as to the solution for my problem. Pray that God will open up your eyes of your spirit so that you can see the solution on how to get out of your marah. This is a great prayer. This is no easy prayer. As I said, there's no power in this tree. The tree was merely an act of faith. There is also something called a miracle releasing faith. The principle is recorded several times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where people would take a physical object or something, they would do a physical act to show their faith. It's full in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I'll show you now another thing, by the tree as a divine revelation. The fourth weapon the fourth weapon to deal with your marah, the tree can represent, if we take it in an allegorical way of preaching, it represents a leader, a man of God. So if you have a man of God in your life, you'll have the ability and the grace to deal with your marah. You see, let me show you something about the faith to release a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, what did she do? She exercised her faith. She did a practical thing. She didn't go to Jesus and ask him for a miracle. She grabbed his hem of his garment, and the miracle was released. The purpose of marah, according to Exodus, is to expose an area in our lives that should be dealt with. if murmuring is coming out, murmuring must be dealt with. If depression is coming out, depression must be dealt with. If self-pity is coming up, self-pity has to be dealt with. If backsliding is coming up, backsliding has to be dealt with. If sin is coming up, sin has to be dealt with. By the time the Israelites got to Marah, it exposed the fact that they were a team of grumblers and murmurers. Grumbling is a way to magnify problems. God allows us to come to Marah to find out what is really inside of us. How are you reacting to your own bitter water? Let me give you the greatest key, the fifth key, wherever we are right now. The tree that was cut off over 2,000 years ago in Golgotha, which is called the tree of Christ, which Christ was put on a tree and he became a curse for us. That tree has been thrown into your Marah, your waters of bitterness. Meaning, if you are in your season of Marah, there's no reason for you not to come out of this. What you need is the cross of Jesus Christ, the tree that has been cut off from Golgotha, where Jesus was put upon and became a curse for us. You take that, he became a curse so that you don't have to become a curse. He was cursed so that you can be blessed. He was rejected so that you can be accepted. He was sick so that you can be healed. He took your sin so that you can be sinless. Yes, I said sinless, so that your sin can be taken from you. Every Marah has an expiry date. Many people just get caught up in their Marah like a twilight zone because they are not hungry for God really. So I want you to say with me, say the time of my Marah is over. I apply attitude, prayer, the divine secret revelation of a tree. The tree was the prescription that God gave Moses, but God can give you any prescription, which is a seed faith. It is a secret faith that releases a miracle. Something that you do that is an act of faith that gets you out of your Marah. It is a man of God in your life, and it is Christ that died on Golgotha. Christ that was crucified, rather, on Golgotha, and the tree was cut off, meaning that that tree was cut off and is thrown in your bitter waters of Marah to make it sweet. I prophesy, decree and declare that your time and your season of Marah is over in Jesus' mighty name. Those who are saying they are in their waters, bitter waters of Marah, may the Lord God Almighty bring you out of this place in Jesus' mighty name. May your waters become sweet. May your bitter waters become sweet. May your attitude change in every area in the name of Jesus Christ.